Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Camille Salazar-Hadaway, and I'm your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Nick Andrade.
Ooh. Your voice got so deep there for a sec.
Yeah, because it was my announcer voice. That's my announcer voice.
Do it again, but your announcer voice the entire time. Like, pretend you're like the intro guy of Jimmy Fallon or something like that.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Camille. Yeah, okay, we're not continuing
you
with
would,
that.
Honestly, I would hire you in a second for Price is Right. That was great.
Hey,
good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Price is Right. I feel like a long-lasting show probably pays the big bucks, so that is the best compliment I've ever got from anybody. So thank you, Nick.
This is very off topic, but do you know, like, normally, so every year, like, I don't know, on Twitter, they'll say, like, oh, it's the 25th anniversary of, like, Happy Gilmore or whatever, and they always show that fight between him and Bob Barker, Adam Sandler and Bob Barker. So I actually, like, almost yearly, I do this occurrence where I go on Wikipedia to make sure to see if Bob Barker is still alive or not.
What?
Because I'm not entirely sure. And he still is alive.
He's still alive. Knock on some wood. I don't even want to put it out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like say he's going to die, but I just want to be like, he's not dead yet, right? Like, I don't know how many times you went, you know, home for lunch during school to watch The Price is Right, but I got lasting memories of those episodes and that man.
I was very big on Jeopardy. And yeah, Price is Right was like the show when you were homesick. But Jeopardy was the show when I was eating mac and cheese and wanting to feel like I'm edumacated.
How good are you at trivia? Because I think I'm good at trivia, but then when I watch Jeopardy, I'm just like, I don't know any of these answers.
Oh, no, I'm horrible at trivia. Suck.
Oh,
not
you
good
are.
At it. But it makes me feel really important when I'm watching trivia and I get that one question of the whole episode right.
So you're basically like Leo DiCaprio, that meme where he's like, when he gets one answer and he knows it.
That's me. But what's also me is all the excitement we have throughout this episode, because we are continuing our dive into Halo Infinite's campaign. On last week's episode,
your mission was to destroy me. I've restored the deletion protocols. I'm ready. It has been an honor. Just promise me one thing. Whatever happens, save him. He needs you. You're all he has.
We do it together. I don't, but I want to.
So we learned that weapon is a complete copy of Cortana, and it's been Master Chief's mission to kind of make sure that weapon doesn't turn out like Cortana, meaning killer if necessary, which he decides not to do.
Well, he tried to, though, before, remember?
He was very close. He was very close, but he didn't, and that's all that matters, Nick. We also find out that Cortana blew up the banished home planet, which is why they are on a ravenous rampage to kill all humanity. It's pretty much payback for, you know, people that created Cortana. So he's just like, hey,
damn you, Halsey.
Y'all created her. So y'all going down. So pretty much Halsey is the biggest villain of all. Right? If you think
seriously,
about it.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. Also, we talked about too how like she's like, you know what? You know who's the most attractive person on the planet? Me.
Me.
I'm gonna copy myself as an AI.
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay, cool.
It's okay, fine. If that's how you want to roll. Halsey's like the type that she would date herself.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like that.
That would be so egomaniacal, egotistical, narcissist if you decided the best person to date you was you.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I creepy if like you made an AI for yourself to like be romantic with.
Yeah. Ugh. She's her own best partner. But on last week's episode, although we didn't discuss Halsey dating herself, we did discuss if the banished were justified in what they're doing after finding out that Cortana kind of blew up their home planet. So where we left off, well, now it's time to go to the House of Reckoning and see what's in store for us in Mission 14. A discussion we had last week was kind of if Ishram is so hellbent on wanting to challenge Master Chief face to face, and like, why is he willing to put a whole army in front of him to face off with Master Chief first if he's so hellbent on facing him one on one? So I guess like maybe this episode we'll find out as we go through this chapter what's the reasoning for that.
I know that you were pretty hellbent, just like Ishram was, about saying like it's not really like courageous of him to say like we're going to have this final battle, but you're going to have to test yourself throughout in order to prove yourself to me. It's like, buddy, I just destroyed like your whole army twice over. Like, it's time. Like, let's meet face to face.
Well, yeah, I guess he's just trying to be like, is Master Chief worthy? But then, yes, he keeps talking to Master Chief as though he's worthy.
Exactly.
Because he's like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you're the demon who killed Atriox, or like, you know, who had a hand in like Atriox's struggles with humanity and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what Ishram's doing.
Well, I mean, especially too, like, he's literally telling all his, you know, goons to go after me. And like, it's like, oh, I'm so sad Atriox died, but Tremonius and your brother and all my other like banished dudes, like, let's go and kill him. It's like, okay, all right. But I'm going to stay here in the comfort of my own home.
I don't know about Ishram. Maybe we'll find out more. But the question of the day today, Games Radar has Master Chief as the sixth most iconic video game character of all time. Of course, you know, you have Mario, who's number one, Pikachu, number two. Really?
Yes.
However, based on actual fighting heroes, who would be in your top three of all time for most badass fighters?
So I thought about this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys on this list and gals. Lara Croft is number four. She's probably the highest human that's on this list, because I don't count Mario as human. He's kind of this weird humanoid thing.
He's Italian. How is it? Are you saying Italians aren't human, Nick?
Chris Pratt is not Italian, or he's also probably not human either. So let's be real.
He's a robot.
Yeah. So I wanted to like think of heroes, or not necessarily heroes, but like, you know, fighters, like, you know, games where there's a lot of fighting and you have to kill a lot of people or destroy a lot of people. Lara Croft is on that list. We have Master Chief at number six. I would consider Link on there as well. But as I was going through, my top three would be Ezio Auditore Frenzy Defensi from Assassin's Creed. I have Master Chief on there too, even though, again, I haven't played that much Halo. From this game specifically, I have gained so much respect for Master Chief and everything that he does, because he literally is a one-man army. And then my third is Solid Snake himself from the Metal Gear franchise. So I pass that question off to you.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you think? There's a bunch, like Ellie from Last of Us is on here as well. Geralt of Rivia is there. Or is it Geralt? Geralt or Geralt?
Geralt.
Geralt. Nathan Drake is on here. So really, there is no right answer, really, but I was Nathan curious what yours would be. In. Well, I mean, look how many guys he kills in all those Uncharted games.
Yeah. I'm always like with these questions where it's like out of all video game characters, I'm like, what video game characters are out there? Although I've played a lot of video games. It's funny when you need to like remember them, you can't. So this list is just off the top of my mind. And obviously Link, number one, he my man. All right.
Yep.
Then yep. I would probably say, which I'm surprised this character is not on your list, Cloud.
Oh, you know why? Because I'm trying to be like a little different.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be always going to, you know, my wheelhouse. So I was trying to think outside the box a little bit.
Oh, are you saying I don't think outside the box, Nick? Is that what you're
saying?
No, no. Oh, no. It's okay. It's all right, Nick. I just went for my favorite video game character.
That's not what and I'm saying.
What I can't stop talking about. Thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. And then I would say Samus.
Great answer. Love that one.
Yes. That one you weren't expecting. I was either going to say Samus or Scorpion.
Who's your go-to? This is not our topic too, but now that you bring up Samus, who's your go-to Smash character?
Oh, my go-to is actually Zelda or Sheik.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Just because she's so quick. And I remember when she was introduced where you could like switch in between them. I was like, oh my God, I will play as Zelda/Sheik because that's like the dream. And then Kirby, of course, because copy abilities.
I mean, Kirby is probably the best character out of all Smash characters, in my opinion. But I use Samus until this recent iteration. Then I started using Dark Samus, who I think is a little bit better than actual Samus. But I love using Samus. That or Captain Falcon. Because, you know, me loves some Falcon Punch.
Falcon Punch.
But that's it. It's a good list. Good job. I wasn't trying to call you out whatsoever, okay? But there's so many characters that you can pick from throughout the genres and a lot of bloodthirsty characters, really. Because to be honest, I always think about that, but like the death count in these games are astronomical. And I always am like, shit, like we kill a lot of people.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to also throw a curveball in there, Yoshi. You may not think Yoshi's a fighter, but Yoshi eats people and then craps them out. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. And craps them out. Okay. So think about that. Well, that's our list. And if you have an idea for your list, let us know in our Discord. But after the break, we're going to dive into some Halo action.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're here in the House of Reckoning, where, as we mentioned before, have to go through a final trial to prove our worth before we fight the mighty Eshram. And that means, you know, what do you think that means, Nick? Waves and waves and waves and waves of enemies.
So many
enemies. I was going to ask you the... Were you going to ask the same question? Did you have any trouble with this?
You go. You're the host. But yes, I did. I had so much trouble with it. The first few were kind of easy, though. I think we're going to get into a little bit of the second one a little bit later. But like, man, Eshram, dude, like, why don't we just fight you? Like, again, like, you could have spent this time character building a little bit more rather than throwing these things at us. Does that make sense? Because I feel like that's what it should have been.
It does make sense because I think at this point when, you know, you start going through, it's the same type of enemies that we're seeing just in different combinations of them, right? So it is challenging, which keeps things a little interesting, but it is also something we've seen before quite a few times. So yeah. It's a lot, but when you go through this, we get an audio log of the Harbinger talking to a Spartan. Basically, she's saying that the Banished are primitive beings, but humans are on the same side as her because of the Forerunners.
She keeps mentioning this. Like,
she has big beef with the Forerunners, Avi.
Oh, is that what that is? Wait, she doesn't like them, right? Because she likes... I don't even remember what those people are called anymore. What are her people?
The Endless.
The
Endless.
Which we don't know anything about at all. And we're now going into almost the end of the game.
We have absolutely no idea about, and we are in the second last mission, you're right, of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
With zero knowledge. So I'm hoping maybe chapter 15 is all about, or mission 15 is all about the Harbinger and the Endless. Or maybe they are the mystery of this game to make way for future games. Who knows?
Or just like in this game a lot, Cortana and Atriox both die off screen. Maybe we just end the game and we don't even find out who they are. And then they die off screen. And then we find out in the next Halo Quadruplet. That's the, the next game called. I don't know.
Don't ask Nick to name a game. But yeah, we really don't know what this all means at this point. We just know that there's big beef between the Endless and the Forerunners. And for some reason, the Endless feel that humans should side with them. But it's weird because it's not even like the Harbinger's like, hey, let's just make a pact. She said that once and then knocked us out. And that was kind of it. Like, she wasn't really vying for our alliance. And so I don't even truly believe her. And I really don't know what to do. But what you do have to do, if that makes sense, is continue going through the halls and halls of enemies. And after we get through some trials, we get a hologram of Eshram who tells us,
"You created the false god, Cortana. Destroyed my will. My home, but she could not kill the fire that burns in the heart of the Banished. It made us stronger! Can you say the same?"
What is he telling you all this?
Death changes people. It forces you to look at yourself, make a choice.
And what did he choose?
Same as I would. Fight.
Dang, Eshram. Like, he is just pulling out like an ice dagger and like ripping it in the heart of Master Chief, if he has a heart. But this for me was a pretty deep moment. I feel like it really humanized Eshram, given that he's a Banished, because we see Eshram not only in pain physically, but also mentally getting emotional and, you know, very much so getting emotional when talking about his planet being destroyed. And you can hear the hurt in his voice. And it's like in those moments, sometimes when you're hurt so bad, you do try to jab at like what you know would hurt the other person. And that's what he does with Master Chief in that moment. I like the dialogue here was written really well for Estrom. And I think it makes him so much more of an interesting character that I wish we got to see him more and like spend time with learning more about his character rather than these little snippets.
Yeah, I agreed. Like, I think he's a really interesting character that I would wish we would know more about. But also, it makes me realize that he doesn't necessarily hate Master Chief. And I think the same can be said with Master Chief with him. And we get those deep conversations. And when Weapon questions it, he says, death changes people. It forces you to look at yourself and make a choice. So he very much understands that also him and Eshra maybe aren't so different. They're both trying to protect themselves and, you know, their people or whatever it is. Master Chief, again, he's trying to save the ring. He's trying to save his people if there are any left. And the same goes for Estrom. So they're kind of humanizing each other in a way. And I don't know, like you said, like this dialogue and throughout this mission specifically, like it didn't get me emotional, but I was just like, damn, like that's some heavy shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you, especially as we go through the mission. But we then find Master Chief with that heartfelt response. Like you said, he basically understands Eshram's perspective and what he's going through. And he doesn't think of him as pure evil, which is so interesting because as a soldier, I guess it just puts in perspective. It's not necessarily like you're just trying to do what you think is right. Like it's not necessarily that you have a like vendetta against this person, but it's just that you have your like you said, that fight to kind of save your people or do what's best for your people, which is interesting because I think that's what Cortana was trying to do when she was like blowing up his planet. Like she kind of thought that was the right thing at the time for well, I don't know. If that
she did
was
it pretty
thing.
Meanly from that cutscene we saw.
She did. But how she kind of held this ultimatum for humanity, right? For
true.
For yeah. all AI, because she sees how they keep getting manipulated by each other and kind of needs, in her mind, that guidance to survive and to protect humanity, right? So it's very much so something that you could understand and humanizes these different characters, but at the same time, it could so heavily be manipulated into something that's so evil for these characters. So it's like a double-edged sword when you have these moments.
It's an easy cop-out for, you know, any kind of story, especially when you're dealing with aliens of some sort. It's easy to make them just irrationally evil and just pure evil, right? And they don't have any sort of reason to be or why they are that the way that they are. And again, like through this game, I'm starting to realize that maybe off the start, it seemed like Eshram really was just there to cause chaos and destroy everything and basically, you know, have the banished be the only things left in the universe. But as the story has gone on through Master Chief's eyes and through what we've heard from Eshram himself, it really shows kind of the layers that he has as a character. And I think he's in pain because he lost his best man in Atriox. He can see that things aren't going right. Can't trust the Harbinger as well. I think he knows that it's coming to an end, but he wants his life to end in the most noble way possible so that it inspires the rest of the banished. And when you look at it from that perspective, it's hard to say like he's wrong or he's inherently evil because I feel like he's doing it for the right reasons in his own mind, whether they're right or not, that's to be determined. But I mean, the AIs could destroy his planet, right? And where did the AIs come from? Well, they came from humanity. So is humanity the ones that are pure evil? Are they the ones who started this? So there's always questions that, you know, you can ask about this, and it's not so blatant or obvious of an answer.
Definitely. And, you know, like you said, he's trying to show that honor and create this kind of legacy for his people. And by doing that, the honorable way, he sets up more trials and, you know, more enemies at Master Chief because you go through waves of some hunters, brutes, and apparently they're so desperate now that you have suicidal grunts that are just attach, I guess, like the packs on them, they're ready to explode, and then they just run into you to try to just blow them up right in front of you.
You know how many times I died from that? Because I didn't know. And then I would hear them go,
yeah.
And then they would just like blow up in front of you. I'm like, what the hell's going
on?
Like,
where
I died
did this
so many
run
times.
Come from? And then because like they are so short, like sometimes they just like pop out of nowhere and you're like, wait, there was a grunt right next to me. I think I might have died maybe a couple times, actually. Yeah, you're right. But those grunts, I tell you, those grunts.
Did you have issues with ammo? Because in this one is where I struggled with finding ammo. I just kind of had to like kept getting guns from on the ground. But those specifically the what are the tanks? The hunters. They kept shooting me every which
way. Yeah,
they're
hard.
Like just trying to hide from them. And that's why when those grunts came, I would always be hiding to like gather my health back up. And then they would just run out of nowhere and kill me. So I think I died like maybe 3 or 4 times in this one. So I had to like calm myself, take a deep breath, and get the job done.
Yeah, hunters are absolutely the worst. Yeah, they take up a lot of ammo. I was just taking guns from all the enemies and like trying to just smack all the grunts to preserve my ammo. After this, we actually get another transmission from Eshram where he talks about the world going in circles forever and questioning if it was a cruel joke from the Forerunners. We're learning so much more about Eshram as we go. And it's exactly what you said. It's very easy to group like an alien species that's foreign to like your protagonist as like just cruel and thoughtless and maybe not that smart. But how Eshram is talking, he's kind of like talking as though if it's like philosophy in here, like
it does,
he is
yeah.
actually a super educated and like, just questioning life. Like I'm really liking Eshram as a character. And it's interesting because we really don't spend time with Eshram and we're just getting these snippets. And it's so intriguing to me that the game is able to show him in a way that makes you want to learn more about him just through these little moments.
The only bad thing about him is his plans seem to be horrible. Like he needs to figure out better plans.
Yes.
But it also like he trusted the Harbinger. So it's not like he kind of like went out there to use her in some certain way. And it's kind of backfiring now, but it wasn't like he tried to kill her or anything. So he had a plan, didn't work out. And now he's just realizing he's at the end of the line.
Is it insanity? Is he losing his sanity at this point? You know, when you become desperate and you feel like there's no end, you're willing to do whatever it is. And really, if you think about it, if he's going one-on-one and he's ready to die and his mentor, who was the leader of his people, died and he wants to potentially just go to his death, like he's not even concerned with if he will win or not. He just wants to face off who's there to lead his people, right? In the time of their need when they don't have a home to go to. I don't think he is obviously thinking clearly. I don't think so. And maybe war does that to you. But yeah, I just find it so interesting. Can we just get like a spinoff series with just Eshram and the Banished? I would play that.
I want to know like how many people are like there. If the planet was destroyed, there can't be that many Banished.
Right.
Right. And also, are they all males? Is there any female Banished? I don't think we've met any.
Yeah.
But it must be like dwarves and it must be like, I don't know. They're probably like, I don't know. Like, you know, the Banished are pretty ugly. So I expect the women to be pretty ugly as well. No offense to the Banished.
Hey. Okay. Like I'm a Star Trek fan. Once again, I'll say it. And the Klingons, some people will qualify as very ugly, but there are some women Klingons that are very good looking. Okay. So
I've never
back off, Nick. Back
I've
off.
Never seen a hot Ferengi. Okay. So with
Ferengi.
So I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. But we get this opportunity to load up on some gear and you hear something in the distance. It's Echo's recorder of his family and his daughter. And it's so creepy. I don't know if this is supposed to be a touchy moment or just a creepy moment or a bit of both, because you see the daughter and his wife and there is it his wife in there. Yeah.
I think it was his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then just singing Mary Had a Little Lamb in like, and it's like dark and like just spooky. Like this is the makings of a horror movie in Halo universe.
The Mary Had a Little Lamb was almost like the same of like, one, two, Freddy's coming for you. Like,
that's yeah.
What it sounds like. So I'm just like, what's going on here? But I know, Cam, I know that something bad is about to happen. That's all. Yes. My radar, well, my spidey sense was really heightened at this point.
Yeah, they did a good job inserting moment for you to stock up on all that ammo you lost facing all the hunters and creepy yeah. singing. It's kind of like these are the flags that things are going to go down. And it does go down because there's really no time to examine it. We get a cutscene of Master Chief kind of looking around the room and notices something off. And then bam. Jega Radomini is here in a very quick surprise boss battle. This is the guy who kidnapped Echo, and I wasn't expecting a boss battle here, but this game tends to do this where you have waves of enemies and then like snap. You think it's going to be another wave, but it's a boss. How did you do in this fight?
It was insanely easy. I don't know if you felt that way, but I beat him very quickly. I had my threat sensors. Use them really quickly and just beat him down. I think I even like hit him a bunch with my gun too while he tried to like use his energy sword. But I brought down his health so quickly that I thought like, is this actually a boss battle? I was very underwhelmed by this one.
I was completely overwhelmed by this. So you know what freaks me out? So I hate the brutes that charge at you and are armored up. And I hate things I can't see. Last time we faced a similar boss battle. We had two of them. You had to use your threat sensor. And I think it's the panic that like just kicks in that makes this battle so much harder for me because it happened last time. Me throwing threat sensors in the wrong direction was happening too often because I was just in a panic to like then switch to my grapple to like grapple out of the way. And the thing is, Jega is so super quick, like super quick. So for me, like I did die a couple times. I think it was the panic. And then when I kind of calmed down, I was able to like take him out, but I just don't do well when I can't see an enemy and I have to use a gadget to see him and then switch to my grapple.
I just made sure to like have my threat sensor on that. Cause you have two on either side of the area. So I basically had all of the area scanned. I was just surprised with how low his health was to get down. That's why for me, it did take, it wasn't very difficult because, you know, a few bullets got him down pretty quickly. So I don't know.
Well, after you beat Jega, Eshrem, the guy who wants to face us one on one, talks to us, not in person, but through another hologram mentioning the Banished, controlling the ring and his legions of soldiers, which begs the question if killing him will even do anything. And he also mentions wanting the secrets of the auditorium, something we still really don't know anything about. I found this so interesting because he really doesn't care that Jega just died, firstly.
Well, just like every like, other one of the bosses. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you killed Jega? That's great. Cool. So let me tell you about the Banished and how we're awesome, even though you just killed one of us. And yeah, this auditorium, like at this point, you really don't know what that means. But I do like I feel like it's supposed to intrigue me, the auditorium. But in like these sections, I really didn't care about like the mystery of what's next. I was just so intrigued by Eshrem himself. Does Eshrem has care? Is he charismatic? Is that why he's a leader? Am I getting that now?
Oh, 100%. Like you'd run through a wall with him for sure. But like, I agree with you completely. They've been teasing this silent auditorium this whole game, but that's all they've done. They've teased it without any sort of information about it. So for me, I'm not really interested in whatever the heck that is because it's barely been mentioned at all. So that's the one thing I don't understand from this game is, again, like obviously things have to be fast paced, but I feel like they're missing out on certain tidbits that maybe give us some meat to get excited for this last mission or whatever it is, whenever we face Eshrem or we face the Harbinger or whatever is going on with the Endless. Like, there's no real, like, I don't know why I'm doing this. You know what I mean?
That's fair. That's fair. well, there's an elevator waiting ahead, and maybe as we go up, the answers will lead there. And we see Echo actually locked up in a torture chamber when we reached above where the elevator took us. And that could only mean one thing.
You shouldn't have come for me. I'm...
Microgravity wells are putting enormous stress on his body.
I told you that I would not kill him.
Leave me. Run!
We'll get you out of here.
No. You will try.
Chief, he's here.
He knows I'm here. This was never a trap. It is a test of metal. Our battle ends here.
Get him out of there.
On it.
Bear witness. Our story will become legend, told by those that survive you.
Talk about charisma right there, huh? Just like you said, I'd go to battle for this guy.
I stand with Eshram.
Hashtag.
But we heard it there. Apparently, Eshram saying it was never a trap.
Lies.
Lies.
It's been a trap.
Well, it's been a trap. It's been a trap. But it's boss battle time, and we've been waiting a long time for this one. I was tired of the holograms, and now we have Eshram in the flesh. What was your strategy here for this boss battle?
It was a lot of feeling things out. I don't know about you, because there's three different types of sections in this one, and they all have their own way to get around. But for me, in the first one, it was pretty easy to get through. And then as you kept going on, there was new things you had to discover in order to get through it. But I died maybe like 4 or 5 times, especially on the last section. But I think you can explain like what each section were and maybe what our difficulties were at the time.
The first section, you need to go pretty much get his health down to like 1/3 while he wields a strap cannon, and rocket launchers here is probably going to be your best friend through this whole fight. When you're done with that, the second time around, he has a shield, and this got me laughing so hard because the shield is actually connected to Echo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Any damage you inflict on Eshram, Echo's feeling it. And right at that moment, I had like one of those energy containers.
Yeah.
And you hear weapons say, oh no, it's attached to Echo. Like any damage you inflict, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and I just threw the energy container at Eshram because he was so close to me.
But that obviously doesn't do anything because he has the shield on.
I know, but it's the panic. The panic of just needing to like get him away and maybe hurting Echo a little bit, because I mean, he could have done better. He didn't need to be caught. So yeah, he has these shields and you need to knock out 4 power generators that is fueling these shields. And then you can lower it so then you're not inflicting damage on Echo once you take out these power generators, and then kind of knock him down the best you could do. This probably, to me, I feel like takes a lot of time. Just because like you have to it's not challenging, but it does take time to kind of go around while running away from Eshram and like knock out the 4 generators. So this is probably the most time consuming section of this fight. And then you have a third section, and this is the gravity hammer, which is very challenging because what's the other, like the 2 things I don't like? Well, the one thing I don't like the most is brutes running at you, and if there was a brute that would run, it would be Eshram, and he's fast, and then he's powerful with this hammer that's like, if you get hit with it, you're done.
I feel like that's where you might have struggled the most, because again, you don't like the enemies that charge at you, and you start to panic a little bit.
Yeah.
So that third section is definitely the hardest, and from what I've seen online, for most people fighting this boss, that's the most difficult one. What was your strategy for this? Because I feel like anytime I was in an open area, mm-hmm. when he had the gravity hammer, I would die easier than when I was in that loop where there was a lot of room to maneuver. So I just basically kept running, trying to find a rocket launcher, and then getting some ammo for that, and then just shooting it directly at him, because that is what did the most damage in general. I felt like my guns weren't doing much, if not anything at all.
Exactly, and you're right. Like, being in an open area, don't do that, because you're just an easy target for Eshrim and his gravity hammer and his jumping abilities. How does this man jump so high and far with a hammer that looks like 5 tons of weight? Like, I don't understand.
Well, look how big he is.
That's true. That's true. But apparently, yeah, his muscles and his legs are like jacked because he's doing all this jumping. So for me, it was like really using the grapple, but yes, staying in more of a crowded area of this part of the map, just to make sure that I had cover and time for my shield to recharge. Because if you do like get a little knock, or like if he also hits energy like container and blows up, you're going to feel the repercussions of that. So you need that cover. So then you hide through the passages, like I said, and yeah, find that rocket launcher, because guns really won't help you here.
There's rocket launchers, but then there's another gun that's almost like a grappling gun or Gatling gun or whatever. And that does not work whatsoever because it slows you down.
Because it slows you down so fast. Yeah.
And it killed me so quickly. So I would just like run with the rocket launcher, shoot him, and then keep running. And if you don't keep running, you're probably dead meat. But I enjoyed that because, again, it's a boss battle with the number one enemy of this game. So I would imagine it should be harder than normal, especially after Jaga's fight.
Yeah, it was very rewarding to have this battle. And it took a long time. I feel like I spent like 20, 30 minutes on this fight.
Yeah, I think so too. I think around the same time. I did get into like maybe a bloodthirsty moment here, where when I did end up killing him, I just went to his body and I kept like
Did you grab the hammer? Gun. Oh no, I grabbed the hammer and then I hit him.
So we both kind of were just like, that's it. We had enough of you. Cause I beat him into a pulp after. It's like one of those things where he's already dead. He was actually dead and I kept going.
Yeah, but that's how you know it was a good boss battle. And once we actually do defeat Eshrim, we now could go rescue Echo.
Okay.
I can't believe you came for me. So we're done now, right?
Spartan! Fight me.
It's over.
Nothing ends. My death will inspire a thousand others. Tell them I died well.
I don't understand. You showed him respect. He was a monster.
Yes. But at the end, he was just a soldier. Hoping he'd done the right thing. Questioning his choices.
So is it over? Their leader's dead, right?
The intricacies of any action are complex.
What? What are you talking about?
There will be consequences. There always are.
What could be worse?
We need to move. The Harbinger's at the auditorium. Whatever she's planning...
It's worse. I get it. Okay, then. I have one question before we leave.
What is it?
Has anyone seen a pelican? Ow! What? What? I had a lot going on. I was busy.
And that right there is why we should have just left Echo. Because
bad joke, really? Right?
Bad joke. We should just
now Echo wants to be all the funny guy. Before he was I ran away. And now he's just like, okay, let's do every day. I'll make jokes. All right, Echo, we had to save your ass four times already because you're a coward.
Exactly. It's like, geez, get a gun and learn how to use it, okay? But other than that bad joke, we did hear a really cool quote from Eshram. He kept going till his last breath. Tell them I died well.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, I feel like that's just such a... He's just such an interesting character. It's just so... inspiring. Like, I am, am I a Eshram follower? Like, it is, that is what you want to hear from, like, someone. If you're fighting in a war, right, and you want to hear from that leader, he becomes that martyr, right? Like, he is that point of inspiration. That is the perfect quote. If there's a statue in the next banished homeland and there's a statue of Eshram, that is the quote that would be on that statue.
And then too, like Master Chief saying, like, in the end, he was just a soldier hoping he'd done the right thing, questioning his choices. Like, wow. Like, just both of them, I have a huge amount of respect for both these guys, because also they put their lives on the line and don't care if they're going to die. They'll put themselves in harm's way. But again, especially the position that he was put into, having to lead the banish again because Atriox died. He was retired, presumably. Basically, yeah. And what the looks of what I don't know what a banished retirement program looks like, but like, I don't think he was in the sun or anything. But again, like he passed on the lead. So, you know, what is he going to do if his homeworld is destroyed? How is he going to inspire his soldiers? That's the best way he can do it. With, again, it's his, he died well, he died fighting. And it was really sad at the end too. He's like trying to use his last breath to continue to fight, but he had nothing left in the tank.
Yeah.
And he did, again, he mentioned the inspiring thousands. So that's kind of the thing that they question at the end of this, this mission. It's like, what next? Like, this might 100% also have another banish rise to the occasion so that it's not over. And, you know, Eshram has mentioned this before about life and the circle of life and a cruel joke by the Forerunners. Someone will just end up taking his place, right?
Because it's infinite.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bravo. Thank you. You know what? Let's end the entire series right there. You just came
there. We go.
Circle.
That's it.
Good.
That's
job.
The end. Yeah. Tied it all together really well. But you're absolutely right. They both also inspire each other. You know, I think with Eshram seeing that Master Chief was continuing to take out his waves and waves and like survive all of these points, it inspired him to continue to go further to face Master Chief, right? And you're right. Like, they are just soldiers put into these situations, hoping to do the right thing and questioning their choices. That's very telling of when we first saw Master Chief to when then he realized Cortana, like, you know, what weapon's real functionality was and, you know, why she wasn't deleted. And also, why Cortana was deleted and questioning his choices if he made the right decisions. So yeah, it's very reflective moment. And I hope that I don't want to see Eshram, like, although we saw him die, like, there was a part of me at this point saying, like, no, he's still alive. Like, he's coming back, right? Like, he's coming back.
Yeah, he almost like steals the show, right? Like, he is a really, I don't know, he's one of my favorite characters in this whole game.
Yeah, he is, absolutely. But that's pretty much it for chapter 14 as we move on to the Silent Auditorium. And you know what that actually tells me? The fact that we beat Eshram here, my guesses were right that Harbinger may be the real boss, and we're going to have to see next mission what happens. But after the break, we're going to break down Eshram's boss battle and his death here on Autosave.
Thank you. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we went through this mission and we had two boss battles. So, Nick, I guess I'll ask you the question to kick things off. What did you think of how the boss battles kind of complemented each other, Eshram and Jegaz?
Jegaz is a little weird because we don't know too much of this character, and he was kind of built up as like this big old Spartan killer assassin guy that we only basically saw once. And I think the battle, like I told you before, was really easy. Felt like there should have been more to this, more of a build up. Yes, it's cool that it was kind of a surprise, but it didn't justify how strong he was. It seemed like each boss battle that we went through, they did get tougher and tougher. The one with the brothers was really tough.
Yeah.
And then I think this one took a step down. And so I was kind of like, okay, so I would think he would be tough, but then Eshram would be even tougher. And it would keep gradually going up. But to me, to be honest, like, you know, even Eshram was a little bit easier than that fight with the brothers for me as well. I might have died a little bit more, but it was easier to find a strategy to maneuver with Eshram. And then Jega was just, I literally just, you know, spray and prayed. And to that effect, it just felt like a regular enemy to me.
Or do you feel at this point that you finally become a Spartan, that you could handle these fights and it's easier? I'm kidding.
Yeah, maybe. No, I 100% think I've gotten better throughout, but I just think maybe they should have been a tad harder than what we've seen. Yeah, that's all.
I completely forgot Jega was the Spartan killer. Completely.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
That. Yeah. And now that you reminded me of that, you're right. Like I feel like I don't know if I would want like cutscenes of buildup for Jega, but maybe a little bit of dialogue there. Because like there's no we saw the reactions Master Chief had finding the other Spartans dead. That build up that there's this Spartan killer, you know, you would think that would make Master Chief feel something when he actually faces that Spartan killer in the flesh, that there would create more of a tension between the two. That would be almost like too emotional for Master Chief. But enough to kind of give you that idea that there's like this beef, because as a soldier, this is the man that has literally killed your fellow Spartans. So I think, yeah, maybe I would have wanted more emotion. Like I said, I panicked during the fight with Jega. So it wasn't an easy, you know, walk through the park for me, right, with this one. But it could have definitely been a little bit harder or a little bit more dynamic in terms of how that fight went down. Because yeah, you're right, the boss fight with the two brothers I think was more challenging because there was the two of them. There was a lot more to kind of focus on during the fight. In this one you just had Jega, so like even if he had like some minions or something like that, I feel like that would have added a little bit more.
Ooh,
to
yeah, that's
that
good point.
that battle. And then for Eshram, like, I actually did really enjoy that fight. I liked the twist of having to take down the shields, even though it kind of was annoying at some points. But I thought it was a great way to make the boss battle feel a little bit different. And when he had that hammer, it was very much terrifying. I was terrified of Eshram. So in a way, I guess for me, it was satisfying, but I was left wanting a little bit more in terms of story, especially with Jegenau, that I remembered he's the Spartan killer. So overall, going through this mission 14, the second last mission of the game, do you feel like it's satisfying at this point, especially how it ended with Eshram, with all the buildup that we've had?
Like the Eshram fight again, like I think it was the best of all of them. So I'm happy with that. However, I still feel like there's still so much that we don't know. And I don't know if, like, I don't know, just not seeing Cortana's death happen in real time, not seeing what happened to Atrox. Again, maybe we'll find out in mission 15. Maybe that's what they're all saving it for. I'm hoping, but I'm starting to become skeptical that we're not going to get enough answers about everything that's been gone on and everything that's happened. Like pretty much all of the Spartans, they're all gone. The UNSC is like pretty much destroyed. So I guess picking up the pieces is the most important thing. But this whole silent auditorium thing, the Harbinger that we've seen twice, it's not really fulfilling anything. I'm more invested in the Banished and everything that's gone on with them. So to me, I would rather see Eshram be your final boss of this entire game. However, I guess we're in for a surprise in 15. So I'm still waiting and holding out hope, but I'm starting to doubt that we'll get a satisfying enough ending because of how quickly these things are building up.
Yeah, I have those feelings as well. Maybe we'll see a zombie Eshram kind of redeem final boss battle.
Maybe.
That'd be crazy. But yeah, like there's so much mystery around the silent auditorium, but I think it's at that point where all these teases and the questioning is getting a little old. So that build up to look forward to mission 15, I don't have that. I'm very satisfied with mission 14.
Yeah.
And I could have actually seen this as the ending of the game, I guess.
Yeah.
If they added like a little bit more narrative, just because the more interesting things for me were definitely Master Chief's, like the emotion coming from Master Chief. And we saw that through the Spartan killer and then through Eshram and that mirroring of two soldiers. So I really don't know how the silent auditorium and mission 15 will play out, if it will be able to kind of surprise us in what our expectations are. But I think that's it for now for mission 14.
What could have gone a long way is almost like what they did in Final Fantasy VII Remake, Visions. Maybe have, again, because we kind of saw Master Chief almost die, if not die, in the beginning of the game. Like, just have little tidbits of visions of maybe the future or something going on. Like, I know we saw the Cortana stuff. I know we saw, some voices in his head half the time. But I feel like they could have utilized that maybe to tell more of a story with the Silent Auditorium to make people really want to go to the Silent Auditorium. That's all. I just don't have no interest in going there because it's not really enticing me with anything previous from the game. That's all.
And we don't know anything about the Harbinger, and there hasn't been enough given to make us intrigued at this point. So we'll have to see if Mission 15 is able to surprise us and throw some curveballs our way to get our attention. But for now, that is it for chapter 14. And we're going to have to see where our journey lies in Halo Infinite on the next episode of Autosave.
Save.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.